Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
I'm Brian Wilson. Mary Walter, a little under the weather, taking the day off. And Vince Colonnais so nicely jumped in here to help us out this morning. Good morning, Vince.
Good morning.
Joining us on the line now, legal analyst Joe DeGeneva, former U.S. attorney to the District of Columbia, and all-round good guy. Hello, Joe. How are you?
Good morning. Great.
I want to start with this thing that the president alluded to. I don't think he confirmed it, but he certainly suggested there might be some recordings going on in the Oval Office. I'm not sure that he has confirmed that in a way that we would call it definitive, but if it is going on, is anything wrong with that?
No, you're allowed to tape record your meetings and your conversations either in the phone or in presence in the District of Columbia, but the president's on unique ground. He can do just about anything he wants in that regard. He actually only said, I'm not going to discuss it any further. My guess is there are no recordings. I can't believe that there would be under these circumstances, but, you know, we'll find out.
All right. What did you think about that? I mean, what did you draw from that?
I would not have said it.
Yeah, I think you're right. All right, so the latest on Comey. I mean, you know, you were the guy who said for long ago Comey needed to go. Comey's gone. You've been on record as saying you think Ray Kelly's the guy.
Yeah.
Do you still feel that way today?
Oh, there's no question about it. You know, there are some other candidates that are interesting. Some of them are just no way could ever happen. Mike Rogers, for example, the former FBI and congressman. The Benghazi families will go crazy over him because of what he did with his hearings. Fran Fragos Townsend used to work for George Bush. She signed a Never Trumper letter, but she's on the list. So, I mean, the bottom line is there are a couple. None of the current FBI people like Adam Lee or Andrew McCabe is going to be seriously considered because they've been there while all the hassle is on them. If the president were to pick somebody like a current FBI person, I suppose politically that would work very, very well.
What, you know, Joe, politically...
Can I just say, Ray Kelly, 75 years old. Isn't that a little old for a job that...
I think he's 72, actually.
No, actually, well, according to Wikipedia this morning, he's 75.
But let me just tell you something. Ben Franklin went to Paris during the Revolutionary War and helped the French support us. And he was in his 70s and came back and served into his 90s. So bottom line is age doesn't mean anything. What matters in this case is experience. And Ray Kelly is the best cop in America.
Joe, you mentioned political vulnerabilities. Ray Kelly does have one, though, which is stop and frisk. In New York, the Democrats have been so against stop and frisk, as much as Ray Kelly seems to be a pretty well-liked guy. That particular aspect of his career is one that Democrats have always been very aggressive on. Don't you think that could create some vulnerabilities for him?
I doubt it, especially if he decided to use it against the Russian embassy here in town. I think they'd be thrilled with it. Bottom line is, that's irrelevant, but if the Democrats were looking for a reason, they could make that one up.
Yeah, I feel like they will if Ray Kelly's name becomes more serious.
Yeah. What about this idea that some Democrats are outraged? Of course, pick a day and you're going to find Democrats outraged about something. But they're making a bunch of noise right now. Saying, Jeff Sessions, the attorney general, should not be involved in vetting whoever is going to be the next FBI director because he recused himself.
Yeah, well, he recused himself from the substance of the investigation into the Russians. He did not recuse himself from the functions of the Attorney General, which is to vet and assist the president in picking a new FBI director. And that new FBI director, obviously, as a matter of law, cannot have had anything to do with the Russian embassy. This nonsense from the Democrats is just an example of grabbing for an issue. Again, they only want issues. They don't want solutions. I think they look rather silly, but they don't care about that anymore. They're worried about their base. They want to raise money.
You know, Joe, can you get into a little bit about what would distinguish FBI candidates from one another, other than just being like, you know, an unacceptable choice. You know, do FBI directors establish any sort of investigative priorities? Are there things that are sort of arbitrary natures within their role that a different person would do differently?
Well, it's basically leadership qualities. The priorities of the FBI are established by the Attorney General and the President. The director can argue for priorities, and he can certainly affect the priorities by the kinds of people he assigns and the types of cases that they pursue independently. But the bottom line is, what matters is leadership quality. You could see how horrible that was with Comey, who had gotten to the point where his public persona was obstructing the ability of the Bureau to function. What you need is someone who is even-keeled, very, very serious, and who, for the most part, avoids the public limelight. That's why somebody like Ray Kelly would be good. And, I mean, I think that all of what is necessary is someone who is a serious person and does not appear to be a politically charged person. That's why I think members of Congress are the wrong people.
Well, John Cornyn, clearly a partisan Republican, but, I mean, I can't think of him. He's a former Texas State Supreme Court Justice. He's a former Attorney General from the state of Texas. Although he's a Republican and part of the leadership, I think he's pretty widely respected. Why wouldn't that be a good choice?
Because you don't want to give up a Senate seat. We've only got
Texas. You're not going to
give up a senator, for God's sakes. It's stupid. The whole idea is nonsensical.
Well, I mean, but he's got a Republican governor. It's a Republican state.
You just don't need that right now. I mean, if you were to pick Cornyn, I would say this is like a suicide mission.
Really?
You don't need problems right now.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, okay.
Let me just say,
I think John Cornyn is perfectly qualified for the job. My objection is not to his credentials. He's a fabulous guy and a great human being. But we need Republican senators who know how to write and spell and speak.
All right, so there are a lot of questions about the president and his communications effort there at the White House.
Yep.
And some talk that perhaps the president of the United States might do away with the daily briefing, put out everything on paper, and then twice a week he'd come out and give a press conference himself. Is this a good idea?
Look, what matters is how you get your message out. You got to have the right person at the podium. You have to have a person who controls the press conference. It isn't the number, it's the quality. I don't have any objection to a daily briefing. I don't have an objection to once a week briefing. I don't have any objection to the president holding a news conference every 2 weeks as a substitute. The issue is not how many times, it's how good it is when it's done. Does the person at the podium project competence, confidence, knowledge? And, you know, there's a great thing that our guys don't do enough of. You say, when somebody keeps asking the same question, that question has been asked and answered. Next, please. This is basic stuff that has to be gotten to, but you got to have confidence at that podium. I would vote for that no matter who it was, man, woman, whatever.
Yeah, I don't you agree, though, it'd also be helpful if the current communication team were actually looped into some of the big decisions that are being made rather
than
being surprised by them?
They all knew what they were getting into. This is the way he functions. You have to be able to operate in that area. If you're not sure, you don't know everything about a subject, you simply don't answer the question in a way that makes it look like you do. You have to be careful. By the way, this is not rocket science. This is public management 101 about how you talk to the press. Now, it's different when you're at the podium at the White House and you have a press that is just obnoxious, that wants him to lose, and they all want to make a name for themselves. There's a way to deal with all that.
Yep.
There are methods and processes by which people in public affairs are taught how to deflect and answer questions like this. And that's what the president's mad about. He doesn't feel he's getting high-quality service.
Well, if there's one thing to say about Joe DiGenova, it's he knows how to speak to the press. I like this.
Yes, Joe DiGenova for press secretary. All right, Joe, listen, thank you so much. Always
appreciate
it.